Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all of you this morning as we gather here on this day to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just would remind you, as always, to please make sure that you read your bulletin carefully as we move into our new fall season. There will be opportunities for us to communicate as things for us begin to rekindle. So please make sure that you read your bulletin and also go to our webpage to stay abreast of what is happening here at Awney Presbyterian Church. Just a reminder that the deacons will be meeting tomorrow here at the church at 7 o'clock. So for those of you who are deacons, please put that on your calendar. So we will also are planning in October next month. We had a congregational gathering, as many of you know, last year to talk about the future of Awney Presbyterian Church, and we will be having another meeting in October for that, kind of a follow-up meeting in October, but more information about that will be coming out later too. But please, again, go to our webpage and pay attention to your bulletin as we seek to communicate faithfully, again, all that is happening here at Awney Presbyterian Church. Our scripture reading today will come from the book of Romans. We'll be reading from chapter 13 of the book of Romans, beginning at verse 8 and reading through verse 13. So let us listen to God's word for us. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not kill, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this sentence: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Beside this, you know what hour it is, how it is full time now for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So let us then cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. It's the words of the Lord. Amen. Chapter 13 of the book of Romans, the passage that we read this morning, it was a passage that had a big impact on the life of one of Christianity's most influential bishops. It was St. Augustine in his Confessions who says that he heard this passage being recited to him when one of his dear friends had passed. Augustine's mother was a pious Christian, but he himself had grown up and was far from pious. He was a person who enjoyed reveling, a person who enjoyed partying, a person who was somewhat of a philanderer, but once when he was again saddened over the passing of a friend, he heard a voice of a child. He don't know if it was a male child or a female child, but he heard the reading of this passage, and it woke him up. Woke him up from a life of indifference to the gospel to a whole new way of life, a whole new way of living, a whole new way of being, and it turned his life upside down, and he became perhaps one of the most influential, if not the most influential, bishops in Christian history. But he had to wake up. He had to be awakened to what God was doing in the world and what God was inviting him to be a part of. We're all familiar, of course, with stories and legends of people who have fallen asleep and missed out on earth-shaking events. Many of us have heard Washington Irving's little story, Rip Van Winkle. It's a story that I usually hear every fall. Rip Van Winkle was a person who fell asleep for 20 years when America was still a colony of Great Britain, when he was still a subject of King George III. Fell asleep for 20 years only to awaken and discover that everything had changed. America was no longer a colony, but an independent democratic nation. The country no longer had a king, but now a president. Everything had changed, but he had slept through all the change. He had slept through a revolution. Think of all the things that he missed. Think of all the opportunities that he missed in which he could have been involved in the revolution, in which he could have been involved in bringing about the great events, but he missed all of it. Because he was asleep. And of course, there's a much older legend, a legend of the seven brothers of Ephesus, seven brothers who miraculously fell asleep during the height of persecution under the Roman Emperor Decius, only to awaken several years later to discover that the whole empire was now a Christian empire. That the emperor was now a Christian, that all the leading citizens were Christian, that the whole empire was now a place that had gone from being a persecutor to Christians to being people who professed the lordship of Jesus Christ. But they had missed it. They had missed it all because they were asleep. They had slept through a revolution. Imagine going to sleep yourself. Imagine waking up 30-some years later to discover that you had missed something, that you had missed some life-shattering, life-changing event. Imagine going to sleep in 1990 and waking up 30 years later to discover how much the world had changed. There was the digital revolution, the social media revolution, the internet, everyone walking around with all these small handheld devices that serve as telephones and cameras and computers and televisions, a virtual revolution in the way people communicate, but you had missed it. You had missed it because you had slept through it all, slept through a period of earth-shattering change. In our reading this morning, Paul wants to make sure that none of us fall asleep during what is the greatest revolution of all time, the greatest revolution that's ever been. The revolution of the Holy Spirit, the revolution wrought by the Lord Jesus Christ himself, the revolution of God's redemption and salvation for the whole world. Paul says the major life-shaking event has already began, but he doesn't want any of us to sleep through it, so he says, stay awake. Stay woke. You don't want to miss what's going on. You don't want to sleep through it. You want to be a part of it. This is something that you want to be a part of. This is something that you want to live through. This is something that you want to see. So stay awake. Stay woke. Paul, of course, was writing this letter to Christians living in Rome. He is writing it to Christians who had been baptized, Christians who had received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He is writing it, in other words, to people like you and me. But even baptized, Spirit-filled followers of Christ, like all of us, can easily be lulled into sleep. Spiritual sleep by the concerns and the desires of the world, by the tendency that we sometimes have to want to gratify the flesh and to turn our attentions to the things of the world. But Paul says, stay awake. Stay woke. You don't want to sleep through a revolution. There was a documentary several years ago about Warren Buffett. Many of you know Warren Buffett, about Warren Buffett at least, one of the richest men in the world. He's a man that at the time was worth over $73 billion. That's a staggering amount of money, staggeringly rich. But despite all of his money, he has cultivated for himself an image of everyday, ordinary kind of person. He lives in the same modest ranch house that he's lived in for over 60 years. He does everyday, ordinary kind of things like eat at McDonald's and go to the grocery store on his own. Everyday, common, ordinary things that we might do. But in the documentary, he was saying that for him, making money was always relatively easy. He was always a numbers person, always a person who was singularly focused on the task at hand. So making money was for him relatively easy. But he said the thing that he found difficult, the thing that he found hard, the thing that he just couldn't do was that he found it difficult to love the people who were close to him. Found it difficult how to express the love that he had for his wife, his first wife. Found it difficult to express love for his children. He just found that difficult to do. And so he didn't pay much attention to it. That part of his life was kind of impervious. He said his life had become lopsided. He just concentrated on his work, but he had to wake up. He knew he had to wake up to the things that were really important. He had to wake up to his family. He had to wake up to his children. He had to wake up to love those who were close to him. And that's true in the church as well. Paul says we need to wake ourselves up. We need to stay awake. We need to stay woke. We don't want to sleep through what God is doing in the world. Don't want to sleep through what God is inviting us to do. We need to stay awake. We need to stay woke. That's what Paul is concerned with this morning. I realize the sermon title for this morning, somewhat provocative given the state of our culture wars, where we're constantly fighting over something called wokeness. Even though I'm convinced that most of the time we have no idea what we're fighting for, we just have settled into the idea of fighting. But for many people in our culture, wokeness usually has to do with some iteration of justice, some iteration of being fair, some iteration of being just. And that's what's being fought over. And I at least believe there's a lot of craziness on both sides of the issue of what being woke means. But again, it's something to fight over. But for Paul, being woke is not so much about justice. For Paul, being woke is about being attentive. It's about being attentive to God and about being attentive to one another. For Paul, being woke is about love. It's about loving our neighbors. It's about loving those that God has brought near to us, loving those that God has brought close to us, loving those who cross our paths. Paul says it's time for God's people to wake up. It's time for God's people to be attentive. It's time for God's people to be aware. It's time to be woke. Woke to what's going on around us, woke to the people around us, woke to each other, woke to the needs of our neighbors. I was reading an article in the Christian Century this week by Peter Marty, and he was stating that God has given many congregations in our country, neighbors that for all intents and purposes are not necessarily easy to love for lots of reasons. Maybe the neighbors are in some ways different from the members in the congregation. Maybe because the neighbors have needs and struggles that people in the church may not be able to easily relate to. But Marty contends that if the congregation is going to be woke, if a congregation is going to be awake, if a congregation is going to be attentive, it has to make the needs and the struggles of their neighbors their own. Because being woke is about loving the neighbor, loving those that God has brought close to us. I see around the community of Alney things that trouble me from time to time. I've noticed that we've got an increased presence of homeless people in the community. Sometimes they sleep on the church lawn. Sometimes they even sit on the front step on the sidewalk of the manse. And it's not just that they're homeless, but oftentimes, like many homeless people in our society, they're suffering from some other issues. Alcoholism, for instance. Several times I've had to run them away from the church steps or run them away from the manse because they've been out drinking, and they're drinking and beer and what have you, but they're neighbors. They're part of the people that God has brought close to us. And we got to figure out a way to love them and care for them, because if we're not, then we're not being people who are awake to what God is calling us to do, not being awake to loving and caring for God's people. But I have to say, I discovered something some time ago, and I discovered that many people, many Christians even, have trouble with love talk, despite the many instances in the Bible where the Bible highlights that love is the fulfillment of the law, that loving is what the commandments is all about. Even Jesus himself makes that point, but we sometimes have trouble with all the love talk. As I said, I discovered that many, many years ago, and when I was starting out as a pastor. First, it shocked me a little bit. Then it baffled me a little bit, but then I began to understand what's going on. Many people feel that, you know, love is a feeling. They feel that love is some gooey, sentimental feeling, and that whenever someone starts talking about love, they believe that it's just an end run around some of the more hard, concrete commandments. Commandments like thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet, all those hard commandments that we sometimes are so fond of. But Paul reminds us that being awake means that we are people who are called to love. And whenever we are loving, loving is the fulfillment of the law. To love is to fulfill the law. It is the fulfillment of the law. Love is not a feeling, but love is an action. Love is what we are called to do for our neighbor, just as we do for ourselves. You know, when our neighbors are hungry, we are supposed to feed them, just like we do ourselves. Whenever we get hungry, isn't that what we do? When we get hungry, we go to the kitchen, we go to the refrigerator, we make sure that we feed ourselves. And if we love our neighbor, we would do the same for our neighbor. When our neighbor was hungry, we would feed our neighbor just as we would concern and care for ourselves. If our neighbor is in need of clothing, then we would clothe them. We would give them what they need, because that's the way we treat ourselves. If our neighbor has hurt us in some way and is in need of some kind of forgiveness and reconciliation, then that's what we are called to do. We are called to forgive our neighbor. We are called to invite them into a season of reconciliation, because that's what we ourselves would want. So love is treating our neighbor and being concerned for our neighbor, just as we are concerned for ourselves. And so Paul says this morning to stay awake. Stay awake as people who love, because love is the basis of God's revolutionary transforming redemption for the whole world. When I was a boy, I always used to know when the dawn was going to break, when I'd wake up and I'd look out the window over at the house of the next door neighbor. Our next door neighbor was a lady named Mrs. Grimms, an elderly widow lady. She was 63 years old, so it's the same age I am now. But when you're 7 years old, that seems like the ancient of days. But Miss Grimms used to get up every morning at 5 o'clock. Every morning her light would come on. And so when I would wake up at night and I'd look out the window and see that her light was on, I knew that pretty soon the dawn was about ready to break. Pretty soon it would be daylight. I knew what time it was. And Paul says this morning that we all know what time it is. It's time to stay awake. It's time to be people who participate in the great revolutionary work of love that God has already wrought in the world. And so he says, stay awake, stay woke. Stay awake because salvation is a lot nearer to us today than it was when we first believed. Stay awake. You know, we might read that today and say, come on, Paul, it's 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, and we're still waiting. But I think maybe Paul was talking about each and every one of us. You know, each and every one of us have a span of time in which we are called to be watchful, a span of time in which we are called to be loving, a span of time in which we are called to do the work that God has called us to do. And all of us this morning are a lot nearer to salvation than the time when we first believed. But there is a sense in which salvation is always near. Salvation is always near because salvation is not an event that we're waiting on, but salvation is a person. Salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and Jesus is always near. Jesus is always close to us. Jesus is always near. He comes near to us, and he especially comes near to us in our neighbor. That's what the Bible reminds us. That our neighbor, particularly our neighbors who are in need, is always Jesus come near to us. Always Jesus come close to us. And so whenever we are reaching out to our neighbor, whenever we are feeding our neighbors, whenever we are giving the neighbor what they need, whenever we are concerned about the neighbor, we are concerned about Jesus, and he is near. Salvation is near. He is near to us. I was grumbling the other day about some of the kids in the community. Kids are, you know, on the steps, and they do all kind of things out on the steps, and they, you know, and you know, including throwing trash down and, you know, tearing things up. And, you know, over the course of last summer, I used to let them sit out there in the back, and they, you know, just littered all over the place, tore the lights up, tore things up, and I was angry and livid and, you know, just, you know how, you know, teenagers can be sometimes. But they had done something not long ago, and I was really livid and angry, and, you know, told them they couldn't come around the church anymore, and told some of them they couldn't come in to play basketball because, you know, I was just angry. And then the boy said, "That's your neighbor. Those kids that you're angry about, those kids that get on your nerve, those kids that come and sit out on the steps, those kids that tore up the lights back in the church, those kids that make all kind of noise, those kids that you have had it up to here with, those kids are your neighbor. They're the neighbors you're supposed to love. They're the neighbors you're supposed to care for. They're the neighbors you're supposed to reach out to. So stay awake. Stay woke. Be concerned about them. Have their needs at the center of your heart, because that's why you are here. That's why God's people are here. That's why the church is here. Stay awake. Stay woke. Kind of gave me a whole new perspective about how to approach them. Or at least to keep them at the center of my heart. And that's true for all of our neighbors, whoever they may be. You know, sometimes we can become so preoccupied that we easily fall asleep. But I'm reminded of a poem by the artist Blake. He said how he had sought to be faithful with God in all the ways except the way that Paul is calling him and calling all of us. He said, "I sought my soul, but my soul I could not see. I sought my God, but my God eluded me. And then I sought my neighbor, and then I found all three." Stay awake. Stay woke. Stay loving. Love and care for your neighbor, because you don't want to fall asleep in the midst of the great revolution that God is stirring in the world. The revolution of God's love and redemption that will one day transform everything. Stay awake. Stay woke. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, give you thanks this morning for the light that you have already brought into the world through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The light that has illumined all of our hearts, and the light that illumines the world even now, because it is a light that shines on us as well, and through us shines outward into the darkness. Help us to be your loving, gracious people, in whose watchfulness and wokeness we are called to be attentive to what your Spirit is doing in our lives and in the world. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.